1st, 2019. We'll come to order. Anybody have anything on the agenda for tonight? Any clarification questions, anything? Nope. Okay. Next thing is action item, Mr. Tuck.
Yeah, on the work session here, annexation policy. So over time, the council's asked staff to bring a draft policy back that addresses the issue of cherry stem annexations. So we took a shot at putting one together, and we have some exhibits to go along with it to kind of illustrate how the policy would affect different annexation types. As you know, there's a lot of different annexation types, but this one is kind of limited to the issues surrounding the cherry stem, having to take over roads primarily that are in bad shape to pick up limited properties. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Walter, and he can walk us through the examples and the draft.
Are we still doing recording and introductions?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Bert.
Michael Walter, Economic and Community Development Director. Okay, so taking a look at the annexation policy, then we have, it's kind of in five parts, and then we have maps that follow. And so the first one is support property or properties that are adjacent to the existing city limits, which is kind of, I guess you call that the most normal of annexations, people are adjacent. Number two is support property, a property that's along an existing cherry stem, so it already happened. Pardon me, there's already a cherry stem and somebody else would like to annex vis-a-vis that right away. That's one option, is to support that. Three, support property or properties that represent commercial, industrial, or other high opportunity areas. We have a good example of this. Right now, there's a cherry stem down in the Clackamas Industrial area. It's off of an old right-of-way called Roberts Avenue. It's down there south of Jennifer, towards the river. And they were compelled to annex, actually, by not having any sanitary sewer service. And long story short, you look at the map, you see this cherry stem kind of out in the middle of nowhere down there in the industrial area. But number three, industrial property. So support, consider support for high-value lands. Then we've had some issues where neighborhoods have sought to annex, and then, or some catalysts within the neighborhood have been a champion for annexation, but then when it push comes to shove, it kind of falls apart, and then only there's a small amount of annexation of a neighborhood. High Point, is that where? What is that one that's over by the high school, Mr. Campbell? Remember that?
Is it the summit? Oh, High Point.
Where the
parking
issues.
Parking. Yeah, High Point.
So High Point is a neighborhood that's over just east of the Clackamas High School, and there was at one point quite a movement to have annexation. And then I think only four properties ended up annexing or something similar to that. So this idea for number four here is, well, if you're going to have a neighborhood and you have 75% of the property owners that are part of an HOA, and 75%, the reason that we use that number is because it's a fairly common benchmark in the city's land development code. There's several things that hinge upon 75%. So if you have 75% of an HOA, and for non-HOA development, 75% of the property owners, then perhaps that's worth supporting because it's the majority of a neighborhood. And then finally, number five that we spoke to with our emails on the city's annexation statement, that until resolved by the court system or new legislation, properties in the city of Damascus, you know, what that may be or not, are not eligible for annexation to the city of Happy Valley until all those issues are cleared up. So then if we scroll down, what we see is just a few quick maps just to illustrate. So first one is, now here's a cherry stem annexation, and this could represent something that's, you know, now considered, you could consider that problematic because it's just a single property. And if we keep going down, here's an adjacent, here's a property that's adjacent. So that one's kind of standard operating procedure, I guess you'd say. And finally, or sorry, next is number three, and we're talking about adjacent to existing. Then the next one we show, well, here's this example of a high opportunity area. So we had our example for Roberts, which is the industrial area. Well, is everybody else's computers working?
Yeah, you're about
right. We're kind of freezing up. We're slow.
Mine wasn't, now it's working.
Word up there.
Is yours working?
Well, it works sometimes.
Here we go.
Slows down.
Big files.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big files, big maps. Okay, so anyway, back real quickly. There's our, hey, this has kind of been problematic. Person annexed their cherry stem. It's one property. It's been hard to serve. It's arguably not cost effective to provide service to these types of properties. And then two, we've got these lands are adjacent. It's just immediately adjacent to the city limits. If you want to annex, then fantastic. Three, here's our cluster of properties that are along an existing right of way. Okay, so maybe ideas to support that since it already had occurred. Here's our high value property that I described on Roberts. So this is a real world example of an industrial development that's proposing to go forward. And a little quick side note is that they're proposing to vacate the road. So that one's gonna come before the city council, I assume. And next one here is an idea of 75%. So you've got a neighborhood, this represents a minimum 75% of this particular HOA in this example. And then we have our annexation policy, which is to say that these properties that are didn't opt to annex to the city of Happy Valley pre-Court of Appeals decision, that until such time as the courts or legislature can work that out, that they're not eligible for annexation. And someday there will be an answer, of course, either legislatively or court-wise. Because, as you know, from there's been much speculation and articles and OPB, what was that called today? What was that OPB?
Think Out Loud.
Think Out Loud, thank you. But ultimately, what doesn't seem to get a lot of airtime is the fact that Court of Appeals remanded it back to the circuit court. Also, another thing that doesn't get a lot of airtime is the fact that this area is in the urban growth boundary. It's mandated, if you will, to have a plan by the state and metro, which we emphasized in all of our meetings that we've had in the Pleasant Valley North Carver comp plan. I've always kind of started out with why does this even need to occur, right? So we've, I think, done hopefully a good job of emphasizing the state and regional program that leads to Happy Valley doing this work versus, you know, a land grab or something like that, some of these inflammatory statements. Any questions on the proposed annexation policy?
Council President Sherman.
Just one quick question on when we talk about 75% of an HOA or an existing neighborhood, do we have a threshold of like number of houses? I mean, I think I can kind of understand where if it's an existing neighborhood that's on a that's on an existing cherry stem, that would make sense. 75% of whatever that cherry stem would be. But is, I mean, if a neighborhood consists of four houses, you know, 2 miles down the road, does that still make sense?
That's a good question.
Or is it kind of on a case-by-case basis where we're saying, you know, unless it even crosses this threshold initially of 75%, we're not even going to look at it. And if it does cross the threshold, then we'll consider it.
Yeah, for the most part, what you're going to find is that no subdivisions, even though a subdivision can be four lots, for the most part, all the subdivisions we're talking about, like 99% plus, are going to be of some significant number of lots, right? So I think that there could be candidates that could come up that were, it would be, well, we'd like to give you an annexation petition, but you're really actually way back in case number one, where it's just this cherry stem to just a few properties, and it's the same service problem, versus our High Point example of, well, you're saying you want to annex your whole neighborhood, but not all of your neighbors are agreeing with you. You need to get to 75% in order for us to support the council to support the annexation policy.
Councilor Mommy? So, what did you have another one?
I do have a follow-up.
Go ahead.
So just, you know, kind of thinking about like the HOA thing, so I guess I never even thought about this. So in theory, you could have properties that are inside and outside of Happy Valley that have the same HOA covering their neighborhood. Are there any, are there issues with that or problems with that? I mean, any unintended consequences?
Well, there are. I don't know if it's directly related to the annexation policy, but a really good example is where I live and am the HOA secretary. So Wenzel Park down off 142nd, it's a mishmash of properties that are in the city and the county, because a bunch of the lots went back to the bank during the recession, and another builder bought them, and then he annexed a whole bunch of the lots. And so there's just a scattershot of lots that are in the city and the county. So the city took on all the rights of way that served the neighborhood and is taking care of the street system that serves 74 homes. But only X percentage of the properties are paying City Happy Valley taxes.
Okay.
So in this particular example of Wenzel Park, even though it was kind of a strange example because it came about over time, you know what I mean, and vis-a-vis annexations and the recession, et cetera, then hopefully most of the time you would not have that issue, because you're saying, well, we're not going to be able to support the annexation unless it's 75%.
Right.
But the HOA itself shouldn't be impacted by jurisdiction.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like,
because they have their own set of rules, which are typically higher than the city ordinances. So for storage of vehicles or whatever.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Councilor Mommy, you had something?
Yeah, actually, so my question pretty much just got answered. I was just about to ask what would happen in the event of, you know, not all the homes annexing in. You have, let's say, 85% say yes. And literally, I think we just touched on that scenario. So I think we're good.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, if you want to support this policy, it's just going to make a threshold. And then sometimes folks get fired up about a particular issue that might be code enforcement related or parking. And then, you know, there's a few kind of champions, but then people learn what the actual cost per annual cost is, and then they say, oh, I'm not signing up. And that's kind of led to a few of the examples we have where it's pretty scattered.
Councilor Drake, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, originally when we did this many years ago, the concept was that we would do these cherry stems and establish essentially a beachhead, and other properties would join in. But our experience has shown us that's never materialized. So these long cherry stem annexations are difficult to serve. They don't really pay for themselves, at least I don't think they do. So I'm not sure that this same policy that we've had over the last, you know, however long, 10 years, is really a viable policy.
Yeah. And therefore, the proposed change today to get rid of the problematic, if you will, or underserved cherry stem. And then also, this is, as you may recall, one of your items from work priority.
And this is helpful for staff. Especially planning staff that's meeting with residents at the counter that are asking for, hey, I want to annex, what is the deal? Then helps provide them some clarity, and we have the at least the policy direction from the council on what we can say. Don't even think about submitting it, or yeah, that could probably be supported.
There's a kind of a surprising number of these one-offs that have come to be viewed as problematic over time that do just come to the counter and say, okay, well, I want to I've been looking at the map, and I decided I want to annex, and then, it's not all the time, of course, but it's here and there and everywhere, they do come up, and it'd be nice to be able to say, well, I'm sorry, unless you meet one of these criteria, then the council policy 1918.
Councilor Mahoney?
Has there ever been a situation, or has it come up where somebody has annexed in, but a year or two later they want annexed out? Is there a path for
there's
that?
There's been a few rare, yeah, there's been a couple of rare occasions that mostly tax related.
Yeah, well, that
there is de-annexation. It's never occurred that I know of.
Okay.
Technically, it's a... one thing to keep in mind about annexation policies is that the council's policy has been for many, many years to waive the fee. Technically, annexation costs $3,000. And so does de-annexation.
You're looking for direction?
Yeah, are we on the right track?
Everybody board with this? Like to move it forward? I'm getting some yeses, okay. So let's move this forward and
bring it back to a regular session and get the council to adopt it.
Thank you, Mr. Walter.
Yep.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
One question? Council President Sherman.
So I'm looking at the map that shows our little odds and ends, white spots, little single homes still in Happy Valley, islands of unincorporated Clackamas County. Is this the right time to just ask about that, or is this a totally different topic? Because I would love to see a policy that eliminates those in the future. And whether it's a situation where we're forgiving, where we're reducing the city tax on them for some finite period of time to help smooth that over, I can't fathom why it would make any sense for a property in the middle of Happy Valley to be unincorporated Clackamas County.
Go ahead, Mr. Tuck.
There's a few things that do influence that, state law for one, and they're called island annexations. So you can, as a council, island annex, and you have in the past, not necessarily everyone sitting here, but members of this council have an island annexed other properties, primarily to the east over here. And state law allows you to defer taxes for a minimum of 3 to 10. And so that's exactly what happened. We annexed a number of acres, and you just do it. Council adopts an ordinance and island annexes them, and then puts a 3-year abatement or longer if you want to go longer. And
I would assume there are criteria, yes. That a certain number of like sides have to be touched,
yes,
by the city and things like that.
Yeah. And frontage on a road and
okay,
a number of factors.
I think that's a good question you brought up, and maybe a future work session or something we could kind of go over how that works.
Yeah, certainly not a compelling issue.
No, but you know, somewhere down the line we could talk about that and see exactly how that works.
Very good.
Okay.
Because to me it's kind of a fairness issue that these people are getting city services, but they're not paying for it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Thank you again, Mr. Walter.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to the next subject here. Okay, the next thing on the work session schedule is Resolution 19-09, amending council rules. We had this scheduled for, regular session. Councilor Drake came to me and asked that we do some discussion on that, and I thought that was a reasonable request. So here we are, we put it in the work session, and we can talk about it. Since you requested it, I'm going to let you start out. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay,
fine.
Councilor Drake, go right ahead.
And thank you for this opportunity to talk about this. Just a little bit of background. Where I work, we have what is called privacy officers. The privacy officer's job is to investigate what we call breaches, where confidential information reaches an audience that it's not intended for. And so how we deal with that. When we start talking about confidential information, there's a number of things that go along with this. For example, electronically, we have rules, and the city doesn't currently, that you shouldn't be able to transfer electronic documents or receive electronically to other devices. You can't store them on thumb drives, that kind of stuff. So you kind of limit what you can do with the information is basically it, to keep it confidential. And I think all those things are important because, frankly, we do have some confidential documents that we don't want to get out in the public or to other parties that aren't intended to receive the information. So that's kind of overall, to me, is we need kind of an umbrella confidentiality proposed rules that we follow, including electronic, whether it's hard copy, whatever those rules are, and to keep information confidential. What's confidential? An example of that is I printed off a copy of the appellate court decision. The appellate court decision, if I bring it into a executive session, it's public information. Anyone can pull it up on the internet and print it off. So that's not necessarily confidential. The discussion is confidential if we have it in the executive session. If our city attorney writes a memorandum regarding that document, that's confidential, but the actual document isn't itself. It's public information. So it's kind of declaring what is confidential, what is, and what's public. Another example is the attorney can say, I've written a brief, we're going to submit it to the court tomorrow. Tomorrow it's public information. Certainly until then, we don't want to get it out in the public, or we don't want to spread it around or do anything else with it. So, I mean, it's confidential for a time period. And another issue, I want to talk to the privacy officer. When you're talking about human resource information, personnel information, if somebody says, I'm going to sue the city, I'm making this up because of some perceived issue, they have a medical issue or something, and they feel that they're not being treated properly or accommodated, where I was looking for. And that information comes to the council, and we talk about it in an executive session, that really is highly confidential information. And in fact, once we talk about it, we should even be deleting it out of our email. We don't want to keep that information around at all. So that kind of thing that we need to talk about, if it's that highly confidential, we delete it. We delete the email. So that's kind of all the issues surrounding it. And I'm not sure what other cities do. I know this is what the county does. They have a series of rules that, of course, we have to follow as far as confidential information. And in my role, I deal with confidential information all the time. Personnel information, because I have to look up things as far as fiscally and a bunch of other things. Dealing with confidential information now that's on hard copy. I have to keep it locked up. If I leave my desk, I have to lock it in a file. So, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. So how we treat this information, I think, is important. And overall as a policy. So that's kind of the general idea.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments? I have a proposal. My proposal is, I talked to some mayors about, you know, the paperwork in the executive session, and I haven't talked to anybody that says it leaves the room. That's kind of a given. And then as far as electronic goes, emails, I haven't had a chance to talk to any mayors. I talked to my wife, who is in every executive session the school board has, and I asked her how that was handled. And in their case, the school board gets a notification that there's going to be an executive session, but that's it. They get nothing else. So there is no emails flying back and forth that has any of this confidential information on it. You come to the executive session, city manager, deputy city manager has the papers ready for us, we read them on the spot. Normally, we don't have more than two or three pages, and they usually go over them anyway. So my proposal is that we do not do any more email correspondence with confidential information. And also, no paperwork leaves leaves our room. And I do think it's, in this day and age, with the hacking that goes on and everything, I think it's a weakness that we email this confidential information back and forth to each other. And so I would propose that that stops, we go to the meeting, we know there's gonna be a meeting, obviously, it'll be noticed. We go to the meeting, Mr. Tuck or in, pass out the stuff, they go over it with us, and we make a decision. We don't make decisions. Let me say that correctly. We don't make decisions. But we read the information right there and discuss the subject. And so there'll be no more emails that have confidential information on them. The way the school board, I'll refer to that again, is at the end of the meeting, all the information is collected. One copy of all information is put in a file and kept in a secure location. Everything else is destroyed. That way, if anybody ever wants to look at what was passed out at the meeting, they are free to come in and look at it. So that's my proposal. I'm looking for feedback. Councilor Goldberg.
Well, most times when we're going into executive session, it's exactly like what happened today, which is you get it the afternoon of, and it doesn't, for me, afternoon of is not soon enough for me to have the time to read it anyway. So I have no problem with saying, hey, this is a risk. Let's just not do it. We can take extra time in executive session, read what we need to read, have them clarify what needs to be clarified. I don't see any reason that we need to have it in advance.
Thank you, Councilor Goldman. Anybody else have any? Councilor Drake.
I agree with your proposal.
Okay.
I think having it electronically is dangerous. Not dangerous, but it's acceptable, susceptible to being distributed that you don't intend to do it.
Okay.
So I agree that we get the written documents, we read them there. You have a file. Like you said, if I say I have a question, I want to read some, and come in, sit in a closed room, read it. That's good.
Okay. Council President Sherman.
Yeah, I think, really the only situation I could think of where that may not work would be if we have some rare occurrence where there's a really thick document
yeah.
that we need to look at for executive session. Maybe there's an opportunity to do an encrypted PDF and Mr. Tucker or Mr. Bryant calls us with the password and says, this is going to come to you, it's encrypted, here's
yeah.
the password, it's going to take you
yeah,
a couple hours to go through it. But I could, I can't think of any situation we've had historically.
Yeah, it's a rare case. I can't think of an executive session I've ever been at that we had more than maybe 3, 4, 5 pages.
No problem.
Councilor Mommy?
So I don't really have any feelings either way. I think anything we can do to be more secure as a city, that's great. But I guess my question would be for Manager Tuck, does this affect you in any way, shape, or form as far as communicating with us? Like, would this, for instance, today's email that came out, like, so I guess would this make your job tougher? How would this impact you?
No, I think we would just make an emphasis on going over the materials or giving you a few minutes at the beginning of the executive sessions to read through it before we just launched into it so that you'd be able to understand the context.
Would there be agendas still for executive session? Or anything like
no,
that?
All there will be is a notice that we're having an executive session. And then when you get there, you'll see what the agenda is and what information is available. Councilor Drake.
Yeah, I think a point of order that aren't we supposed to print what the executive session is about?
Yes,
to
so,
the
there's ORSs that you cite.
Right.
So like
right.
tonight, you'll see the regular session. There's a citation for litigation. Each issue, real property, HR issues or whatever has a different citation,
right.
So we just make that citation.
And that, yeah, but it's not an actual agenda where it says we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
This,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
So,
right.
yeah, they cite the RS. So,
yeah.
Everybody, okay. So what'll happen is, Mr. Tuck, Mr. Bryant, I'm assuming you'll write up some sort of a resolution. Is that
yeah.
correct?
We'll amend the draft
amend the
resolution.
One we have. It'll come back at another
yeah.
meeting, and we'll all vote for this, and mm-hmm. we'll get the chance to read it. And I think it's a good idea this in this day and age that we do something. Okay.
Good.
All right, great.
Good.
So there's your direction on that. We're done here a little bit early, so are you ready for
yeah.
city manager? Go right ahead.
All right. Urban renewal. So on May 9th, Ben and Elaine and Mayor went to Board of County Commissioner meeting and updated them on our urban renewal plan, which is a requirement that we do. The county does not have authority to approve or deny. We are just there to inform. So they did that. The Board of County Commissioners had a number of questions and requests. So we took those down and then we responded to the county today. There was two aspects of that. So there was our plan and then the county has a Clackamas Industrial Area Urban Renewal Plan. The cherry stems all the way up 172nd. So we can't have overlaying urban renewal plans. And so for us to include 172nd in our plan, they have to remove it from their plan. They currently do not collect any increment from their plan, and they have no plans to spend any money in that district. So they had an item on the agenda after our update to amend their urban renewal plan to remove 172nd so that we could do it. Well, they postponed that. I think the chair had some concerns, and a number of commissioners had concerns, and somehow maybe related to parks and kind of leverage kind of issues. And anyways, they continued that until June 13th. So we did get them the information they requested. Maybe they'll move it a little sooner than that, because we were responsive very quickly. And so we'll see. But they have those answers, and it was pretty easy for us to put together and respond.
What were their issues?
A number of questions on affordable housing, which is kind of misplaced conversation with urban renewal, as our plan is infrastructure based only, and some downtown stuff, and then or property acquisition. So what we did in our response is refer to all the policies and goals that we have in our comprehensive plan that cover affordable housing, all the incentives, the we responded in how we've zoned land in Happy Valley, how it's been developed, and essentially a conversation that we had at the last meeting. Michael Walter was giving an update on the Pleasant Valley Comp Plan and affordable housing. It's basically, affordable housing is two levels. First, you zone land for multifamily, and then the next step is projects or incentives or something to help that project move forward. Zoning alone does not create affordable housing. It creates the opportunity. So we explained that in the response. Were there other questions they had?
The only real question they had that was specific to urban renewal was twofold. One was, what is the net impact of urban renewal across the county? So Milwaukee's urban renewal district, Wilsonville's urban renewal district, all the different urban renewal districts, what's the net impact and what to the overall county? And so fortunately, our consultant has done those urban renewal plans, so she was able to pull that up really quickly. Basically, all urban renewal districts make up 3% of Clackamas County's assessed value. So if you take a look at all what they're losing, basically, if you looked at just Happy Valley in the first year, our increment, so the amount that they're going to forego, is 0.0002% of Clackamas County. So we provided information about that. They wanted some information as well on when those other urban renewal districts expire, which was pretty easy to put together. So
it's definitely a request they could have made to their staff.
Yes.
To provide, since it was countywide information they were looking for, but we are doing what we can to help this along.
Any other issues they had?
Oh, Councilor Drake.
I was just asking, is there any other issues?
Yeah, so affordable housing.
The other issue that they had that we had a little bit of a preview to was parks. So we have in our plan the acquisition of parkland. So we actually came to the Board of County Commissioners knowing that they had that concern with some amended language at that meeting in the urban renewal plan that says that we wouldn't use urban renewal dollars to acquire parkland in the urban renewal boundary until the litigation is resolved. Likely not going to happen before then anyway. So we presented that to them, and they didn't have any questions on that once we presented that. I think that kind of, yeah, that's a good, yeah, exactly. That resolved that. So
the big issue the county has is if they do not amend their plan and essentially block the funding of improvements to 172nd Avenue, that's going to be a tough message for them to communicate to the public, that they are essentially blocking a major arterial from being improved and providing mobility throughout the county. And you tie that to the Metro 2020 bond work that they're looking at is the C2C corridor and the Sunrise corridor, the top two county priorities. So it would be a really odd message for them to say those are two transportation corridors that need improvements and then block a potential improvement to one of the corridors. Doesn't make any sense. They're going to have major issues if they...
Yeah, I think we did a good job. I started it off and Ben followed up with, you know, this is not just Happy Valley. This is a major northwest or north-south corridor that Metro is moving up their priority list, and this is not about just Happy Valley. And Ben reiterated the same thing to them. Whether they listen or not is, I don't know. But that's the message we were getting on this. This is a big deal. It's not just Happy Valley. So
we were up there for a good part. We were probably there for an hour.
At least.
Questioned
yeah.
by them.
Yeah.
That's it. We are running up against a little bit of a tight timeline, just a heads up as well. We're going to make it if they vote on June 13th, but if they postpone it beyond that too much farther, their ordinances take 90 days to be effective. We have to have, if we want to collect increment this next fiscal year, that has to be, that district has to be created before the start of October. To be able to meet that deadline. So, and given their 90-day clock, we don't have that clock. We have a 30-day clock on our ordinances. They've got a 90 days. So we reiterated to them that timing is of the essence, and if we miss that first year, it's not just delaying the plan a year. There are certain developments that we're trying to capture that frozen base before a new development happens. Otherwise, it could delay us, instead of a 25-year plan, it now becomes a 30-year plan. That's not what the fire district wants. That's not what the county wants.
Right.
So
do Councilor we have Mahoney? Anyone at Oregon Metro or the fire department, anybody reaching out to them, or are we just kind of hoping they do the right thing?
No, I think right at the present time, and Ben can and weigh on this, I got the impression that they would probably approve it. That's the impression I got, that they were just putting it off for a little while. But I got the impression they would probably approve it. Hopefully I'm right. I don't know what your feeling was.
We agree with that.
Yeah, that was kind of my feeling is this was more about taking their time.
I think there was some confusion at the beginning too. So when you create an urban renewal district, you don't need what's called concurrence, the buy-in of the other taxing jurisdictions. When you expand an urban renewal boundary beyond a certain point, you do need concurrence. And so they've had other cities go to present to the County Board of Commissioners seeking approval.
Yeah.
We were not there seeking approval.
Right. Right.
So I think that there was some confusion as well, what their role was. We weren't asking them for concurrence, but we are asking them to vote on this 172nd thing. But if they don't vote for 172nd, that doesn't mean that it kills the urban renewal plan. It just means that we can't do 172nd. So there's just some confusion there, too, that I think between our comments but also their own staff work, we'll be able to, hopefully.
Okay, questions on that? Anybody? No? Mr. Tuck, anything else?
Yep. West Advisory Committee meeting is this Thursday evening. Chris Randall's planning to attend. I can't be there, so I'll be there.
It's the budget meeting. So we're going to be going over the West budget.
Everybody
wants a copy of it.
It's probably online, too.
It is.
The city is a sponsor again this year for the North Clackamas Chamber and Rotary Golf Tournaments. Typically what we've done in the past is put up a tent, put out some tables, and had volunteers to hand out golf balls and tees and T-shirts for whatever. I think Brad has volunteered to do the North Clackamas Chamber on June 7th.
I don't know about that one.
Or the Rotary.
The Rotary, I usually do the Rotary, but the Rotary cannot make this year. But June 7th, I might be able to.
June 7th is the Chamber. June 21st is the Rotary.
Yeah, I could man a booth on the 7th, that's no problem. But I couldn't do the 22nd. Or no, 21st? 21st.
Anyone have any desire to do the Rotary booth?
What day is that one?
First.
Fridays are bad days for me.
What's the Rotary? What do you need to do?
We set up a table and an awning and we hand out golf balls. And
you make small talk with people.
Will there be someone from the city too, or would it just be us manning it ourselves? Or?
Yeah, they ask you questions about what's happening in the city in Happy Valley nowadays. And you know, half the people complain that we're not giving out good enough balls, and the other half take 20 balls. So, you know, that's pretty much the rule.
And worst cases, we have a sign that says Happy Valley. I think we're the long drive sponsor on Rotary or a whole sponsor or something. So we'll have a sign up that says sponsored by Happy Valley.
We're not doing the hole-in-one contest, win a BMW?
No, no, that's
yours.
You offering?
Donations, come on, the Rotary.
I'll take the seventh, that's no problem.
Okay. And if anyone has a desire to attend the 21st.
I may be able to do the 21st, but I won't know until we get closer to it.
It's fine. We'll just need to know probably a day or so in advance so that we can get a table out there. And
yeah, I can know like as we get closer.
All right. That's
it?
All I had.
Okay. We got time, so let's do our council concerns and comments. Is everybody ready for that? Okay. Councilor Mommy, you want to start us all off?
With concerns and comments.
Yeah. What have you been doing?
Oh, I have council communications.
There we go.
Oh, okay, we're calling it something different.
No,
I was going to write them all nice. all right.
It used to be called council concerns, and the council wanted it changed to councilor communications.
Oh, interesting.
So it wasn't negative. Concerns are negative.
Gotcha. All right. Well, actually, I've done a few things. So since our last meeting, I was actually inducted in the Rotary. So I appreciate that. Manager Tuck and Councilor Gullaby and Council President Sherman showed up, and that was a lot of fun. I also attended the last Rotary meeting as well, just this past Thursday. I was able to attend the Coffee with a Cop and the Kona Ice with a Cop, which was a fantastic event put on by the city, and it was great seeing our local law enforcement getting out there and building relationships with the kids and family members and whatnot. So that was a lot of fun. I also went to the John L. Scott ribbon cutting ceremony, which was my first one, and the law enforcement officer fallen memorial. And I was able to I didn't run, but I was able to be a part of the Happy Valley Fun Run with Councilor Gullaby, which was fantastic and had a nice turnout. So upcoming, I'm going to try to make the Happy Valley Business Alliance meeting tomorrow if I can. I'm still trying to, it's a really bad day for me work-wise, but I'm going to try to sneak out. And then I also have a ride-along scheduled with a police officer for, I believe, the 29th. So, looking forward to those.
Oh, excuse me. Councilor Colby. I didn't know you were dead.
I attended all the same events. Of course, the Happy Valley Fun Run is quite the undertaking for my wife and I, so that consumes a lot of the time the week building up to, but I made it to a lot of the events that David spoke to. Looking forward, what do I have? Well, I've got junior achievement that I'm teaching. I think I'm now up to three classes that I'm teaching junior achievement. I'm going to go to Rotary this week, and then I'll be gone for a week. I'm going to Colorado to see my nephew graduate from the Air Force Academy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great.
So I'm spending our entire family a week up there. So I'll be gone for a little bit.
Thank you. Councilor Drake.
Me?
You're up.
Okay. I had an MD procedure last Friday, but that's a doctor procedure. Anyway, Feed the Homeless tomorrow night at the Rotary at the Clackamas Service Center. I've got the West Advisory Committee budget meeting. Like you said, Thursday, we're going to be going through the budget, and it's, of course, we're an advisory committee, so it's a pretty thick document, but they're talking about increases potentially in SDCs. They talk about the outside the SDCs increases could be as much as $12,000. And I don't think it's going to go that high, but yeah. Anyway, they're talking about increase because of a lot of work they have to do. So we're going to see how that shakes out. And they also talked about different rate zones. So we're still kind of working through that. Each rate zone gets different charges. We have right-of-way charges, so does Oregon City, Milwaukee, et cetera. Do those, and then I also attended the mayor. We attended the housing forum, and that was real good. A lot of information was given out about housing issues, and then also I had the equity work group last week about equity issues and things that they want to do. which is mainly have a booth at the 4th of July, we talked about, to get information out to people. So that's the major things, and of course, stuff coming up is, I have the city council next week, but also C4 is coming up, although the C4 meeting may be canceled. And then, of course, we have the C4 retreat, Friday, June 14th, overnight into Saturday. We'll go into that.
Okay. Thank you. Council President Sherman.
Thank you, Mayor. My my priors were very close to Councilors Alami and Galve. Law Enforcement Officers Memorial, Rotary, John Scott Ribbon Cutting, C4 Metro Subcommittee, Coffee and Kona with Cops. Which, if anyone would like to see the video of Chief Anderson riding a razor around
that's
the
great.
Park, I've got that handy. It might make its way onto the onto social media at some point.
That's a must-see.
And I will say, he did a fine job,
he did.
So pretty impressive. Coming up, I am going to MPAC tomorrow as the alternate with Mark Gamba. I also did take a tour of the Pendarvis Farm last week. They got it all cleaned up and ready to start doing their preps for the pickathon, and actually took a walk all the way to the four corners of the property to see actually how big it is and what it looks like. So it's pretty pretty interesting property. It's pretty a very, very, very nice property. And also did notice that the developer has started staking out the land next door, the Beale property, to start doing some work there. So. The Pendarvis family are concerned about that, and so obviously just kind of just more information for the group than anything else. So that's all I've got.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we all kind of did a lot of the same stuff, it looks like. I went to the Clackamas County Fallen Officer, BCC meeting on the urban renewal, John L. Scott ribbon cutting. I did the fun run. I'd like to thank Councilor Golby and his wife Dawn for their hard work on that. It looked like a big success to me.
Yep.
So, went to the, pardon me?
We're glad it's done.
Well, it looked pretty successful to me, so thank you. I went to the housing needs assessment, coffee with a cop, police ride along on the 17th was good. Very, Councilor Mommy, I think you'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
Monday I went to Scouters Mountain Elementary School and had a little party with the kids for their participation in if I were mayor, Kona Ice was there and they were all pretty happy with all that. And that's about it. So anybody have anything else before we adjourn the work session? Nope. Okay, we're gonna adjourn the work session. We got a little bit of a break.